south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started. Now, before I get started with some meat and potatoes here, and if you're a vegan, that would be soy and potatoes, I guess. I'd like to remind you that me and the gang at Expat Wisdom are thinking about putting together some one-day fast-track seminars specifically designed to jumpstart your prospective move to becoming an expat down here in Latin America. You know, kind of spell things out in general, answer some questions, and give you a solid game plan. So if you're interested in attending a short one-day seminar, just send me an email, johnny@expatwisdom.com or theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And be sure to tell me where you live. Not your exact address, of course. But tell me what city you live in or the city that's closest to you. And that includes you guys and gals in Europe, too. Because I know there's huge numbers of you guys that want to get out of Dodge before that place completely crumbles. So send me an email and tell me about where you're located. And if there are enough people interested, there's a chance that Expat Wisdom will be landing in a city near you. Okay, enough said about that. Today, let's start by talking about things down here in Latin America that affect expats every single day. Now, I know in a past show, I mentioned that Latin America has its own version of speed bumps. You know, those lumps and bumps in the road that are supposed to put you on alert. Warn you of something nasty or dangerous that's coming up ahead. Or I guess to wake you up at night if you've fallen asleep at the wheel. Well, down here in Latin America, they have those things in a very big way, and they're called tumalos. And truthfully, they're responsible for many, many more accidents than they were intended to prevent. Which is why I'm sure that Latin American transportation and civil engineering departments are staffed by complete losers and idiots that could never get an equivalent job in the private sector. But really, it boils down to nepotism, you know? Once you're elected mayor or their version of senator or city councilman, you give those jobs to your friends and family, even if they have only sixth grade educations. It doesn't matter. This is Latin America and nothing changes. All those friends and family and cronies walk away millionaires in the end. Millionaires in pesos, lempiras, and bolivars, that is. And though you read about roads to nowhere and abandoned public works projects by the hundreds, sinkholes and road washouts and bridges collapsing, and this'll shock you, har har, most often built with money that's been donated by naive first world countries and do-gooders. That is, after the politicians have skimmed at least half of it for themselves. The fact is, any time you drive down here in Latin America, you'll see every kind of substandard road construction you can think of, and some you never thought of and wouldn't have believed possible if you hadn't seen it with your own eyes. But the one good thing is the Latin press is all over that stuff and you read about it all the time. Articles like that appear every single day in the local newspapers, and I'm not kidding. But it's like a Chinese water torture. The general population is just numb to it. They don't want to hear about it anymore. What they want to do, actually, is get a job in government themselves. That's the goal of every mediocre, uneducated Latin. Get a government job. So they could get overpaid for sitting on their dead asses, too. And if they're lucky, get a government job in a very corrupt department where it's possible to skim with impunity, just like the big boys do. Now, if there's one thing that expats notice right away as soon as they land in Latin America, besides the horrid state of the bathrooms, that is, they see that driving down almost any Latin American road is like driving through a minefield. Soon, they begin to experience things that they never would see up in the first world, like four-lane highways abruptly turning into two or even one, potholes the size of Volkswagens, vast stretches of road pitched the wrong way, so that when it rains, one whole side of the highway gets completely flooded out. Then, when you're in the city, there's always dozens of unmarked one-way streets that are one-way today, but not next week. It seems those idiot transit guys are always playing musical chairs with the one-way streets. In fact, right now I could show you a very busy place in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, where there's a one-way street. Okay, that's all right. Then the next street's a one-way street, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. There's four one-way streets, all running parallel with each other, each one block from the other one. So you're thinking, what's so crazy about that? You see that in places like Cleveland and Chicago all the time, right? Yeah, but the thing is, you don't see four one-way streets in a row all running in the same direction. But if you think on it a while, there really is a good explanation for all that. Like expat Eddie says, in the workforce, like everywhere else, it's Darwinism, the survival of the fittest, which is part of what the gringo advantage is all about too. But Eddie also says, and I love this observation, he says, in government, it's reverse Darwinism, since you can never really get fired no matter how incompetent you are. And often, because you've got friends and relatives in high places there too, you actually get promoted beyond your level of incompetence. Kind of a Super Peter principle on steroids. So in government, especially Latin government, what you have is an IQ race to the bottom, not the top. And it's just so evident to us expats that you can't miss it. But to Latins of all kinds, no matter what socioeconomic class they're in, that's just the way it is. They've got nothing else to measure their government against. It's what they're used to. Oh, and I have to mention, don't forget those lunatic motorcycles driving down sidewalks, weaving through traffic against the flow like rats in a maze. Just don't be surprised if they brush right up alongside your new paint job and collapse your side mirror or even take it out completely. And they just keep motoring on like it never happened, of course. Over the years, that's happened to me a dozen times. Now, I ask you, if some scumbag like that scratched a nice deep line right down the side of your car, what would you do? He won't stop. It's normal procedure for him. He weaves through traffic all the time and certainly scratches a few cars a couple times a month. And even if he did stop, who are you going to sue? A guy with a twisted 90cc rice burner? In a case like that, it's no time to be thinking like a first world guy. Down here, you just have to suck it up and get on with your life. And can't you see that's another reason not to have a nice car down here? And by the way, a good reason not to be packing heat, especially if you're a hothead or you have that road rage disease like so many of us expats have and just can't seem to shake. And what do you do when you are going down a one-way street and suddenly you notice a block or two ahead, a car's going the wrong way down the one-way street and he's headed right towards you because he decided for the moment it's not a one-way after all, not for him. Now, that's happened more than 50 times to me since I've been down here, I can tell you that. And remember, if you flip the guy the bird, this is Latin America, so he doesn't really know what that means. Most times he'll just think you're waving at him and he'll wave back and smile. And he'll mean it, which will really piss you off. And what do you do when you're going 65 miles an hour and a four-lane highway suddenly turns into two or one lane without any notice? You can count on that happening practically every time you take to the road. And by the way, every expat down here knows what it's like to hit one of those speed bumps or tumulos at about 65 miles an hour. I'll tell you, that's a brain-jarring experience you'll never forget. So the problem is down here, tumulos, unintentionally, they serve two purposes. One, to slow you down for something or another, and two, to destroy your car. Especially cars that ride a bit low in the first place. Now, I wouldn't be bringing tumulos up again because I did mention them in a past show, but I thought I would elaborate because every time I'm with a green gringo in a car, they always freak out when they see these things, and even worse, when they appear out of nowhere. So many times, gringos riding shotgun with me will grab my shoulder and say, "Holy f***, what the hell is that?" That's why it's good to get behind a local because they all know where these things are placed. And if you're behind a guy like that, he'll slow down accordingly, and you just follow his lead. So it's clueless gringos and out-of-towners that whack these things at high speeds, not the locals. Now, get this. The average ground clearance on a production car is between 5 and 7 inches. And that's when your car's only got about one or two average-sized passengers. So even if you have a car that rides a little high, like a station wagon, or a pickup, and you load it down, then I assure you there will be times that your ground clearance is like 4 to 4.5 inches. And if you've been on the road down here in Latin America, even for 10 or 20 minutes, you'll soon pick up on the fact that Latin Americans always overload their vehicles. And though to Latins, having a low rider is cool, aside from that, they don't think that their cars and trucks have any weight limit at all. They'll just keep piling on the crap till the springs and the shocks and the struts just give out and collapse. And I'm dead serious about that. And as much as we gringos might laugh when we first see a pickup truck with 16 people in it or a station wagon with its ass end scraping the ground, Well, just think of it this way. They're actually doing us expats and gringos a really big favor. Why? Because if you look closely at the tumulos down here, those big, massive speed bumps, you'll notice the very top portion, the highest point, the part that your car's going to bottom out on, has been scraped flat. Turns out, right after a tumulo's been installed, it's way too high. In the next couple weeks, that's the part that's going to get scraped flat and basically worn down to an average height of about 5 inches. Now, a tumulo can start out at basically any height, anywhere from 4 to 8 inches. And an 8-inch tumulo is an absolute suicide drive for any normal car. But you see, there are so many overloaded vehicles down here in Latin America with ground clearances of 3, 4, and 5 inches that within a couple of weeks, no matter how high a tumulo is, it's been ground down to about 4 or 5 inches. So basically, if you're driving a car and you drive prudently, you only have to worry about the new ones. And yes, the street crews do paint brand new tumulos once they're finished, though that's about the last time they ever do get painted. So anyway, at least you can spot a brand new tumulo from a distance. And you should know that on some of these bigger tumulos, you have to come to nearly a complete stop before you attempt to go over that bump. Because if you don't, just the act of your front tires rolling over the tumulo and coming down the other side will force your front tire springs to compress, and your frame will often scrape the speed bump. And believe me, it's quite a sickening sound. So there are times when you're gonna bottom out. So bite the bullet. And the only way you're gonna have a soft landing is to brake a bit as your wheels go over the hump on the other side. And here's a tip. Just watch the guy that's in front of you and see how hard he takes the tumulo. See how close he comes to bottoming out. And here's the problem. When there's no one in front of you and the tumulo's unmarked or the paint has just been worn off from so many scrapes, well, then you and your car are going to get your bones rattled, which is another reason why I don't recommend driving in Latin America at night, unless you're quite used to that particular stretch of road. And still, that's no guarantee because new tumulos and other road hazards can pop up at any time in any place. And never forget that Latin American road crews do not necessarily mark road construction sites at all. And they don't really care if you hit a barrier or an open manhole or go over a cliff because down here, no one has ever successfully sued the government for that kind of thing. Not that I know of, anyway. That's why replacement shocks and car alignment centers are doing landmine business down here. Did I say landmine? Which leads me into another kind of related subject. Now, a lot of people say, Johnny, you've mentioned that cops don't pull people over down in Latin America, and they don't engage in high-speed chases, whether it's because they don't have enough gas or are just asleep at the side of the road. It doesn't matter. They don't do it. That said, let me clarify something here. The fact is that cops aren't totally useless. If you're down here in Latin America on the road, every so often it'll look like a cop has actually pulled someone over. And that's the first thing we think when we see cop lights flashing alongside a car on the road. Well, let me straighten you out on that. Like I've said before, cops just don't chase people, pull them over, and give them tickets. It turns out that down here, there are so many vehicle breakdowns that I think a good business for an expat would be to have a rescue vehicle with some spare tires, charged batteries, and gasoline on hand, and a tow bar. Especially the gas, because that's the number one reason people are off on the side of the road. They ran out of gas. Now, you already know there's no such thing as maintenance down here, so roadside breakdowns are the norm down here. But there's another big reason for so many breakdowns. Drivers overload their vehicles to such a degree that many times you see a stranded car or pickup on the side of the road with a wheel housing completely collapsed. And you can't fix a bent drive shaft or axle by changing the tire. It'll definitely need a tow. Oh, and by the way, these guys with the really junk cars and trucks that are so overloaded that they're nearly collapsing, they're always plastered with religious stickers that say things like, Jesus protects me and the Lord is my co-pilot and stuff like that. And when I'm with expat Eddie and we see a broken down vehicle with stickers like that, and they all have them, Eddie always says, you know, if Jesus was hitchhiking, I'd give him a lift, but I wouldn't let him drive. And sometimes, you know, when I'm driving with Eddie on the highway and we see a truly embarrassing piece of crap that's doing the speed limit or better. You know, the usual for down here. Bald tires, no lights, busted windshield, way overloaded and with multiple Jesus stickers, of course. Now, that's when Eddie will say something like, look at that, Johnny. How can you say you don't believe in miracles? And, you know, he might have a point there. So back to what I said. Cops don't pull anyone over in a high-speed chase, but they are good Samaritans and they'll pull over to help you out when your car is sidelined and in distress. And that's about one of the only things cops are good for down here. They're pretty good about that. They'll try to give you a push and play around with your battery, go under your hood and mess with your wiring and stuff. Generally, they'll make it worse because they're idiots too. Just remember what I said. 95% of the police in Latin America do not own cars themselves, never had and never will, because they can't afford it. Now, it makes sense that you don't ask a guy who's never owned a car in his life to help you fix yours. I mean, you don't ask a bricklayer to help you fix your iPod, you know? And do remember that when a Latin cop pulls over to help someone in distress like that, it doesn't matter how unfit for the road the guy's vehicle is. The cop will never write a ticket, no matter how many windows are broken, how overloaded the thing is. Nor does it matter if all the headlights and taillights are burnt out or broken, or if all the seatbelts are missing. In fact, it doesn't even matter if they've got a case of beer open or a bottle of tequila in the car. You can count on the fact that no one's going to get a ticket. Though you might have to donate a couple of beers to the cause, you know? In fact, in all my time down here, the only time I've ever seen anyone get a ticket, except for parking tickets, that is when some driver was actually singled out and pulled over at one of those stationary roadblocks that I talk about. And even then, they won't write you a ticket if your windshield's broken or you're missing seat belts or your brakes don't work and your lights are burnt out. They don't care one bit about that. It's not even on their radar. In fact, they've got no yearly vehicle inspections down here at all. In fact, they never inspect your vehicle for anything. Because like Expat Eddie says, if they actually had routine vehicle inspections and gave out tickets and fines for that kind of stuff, Latin countries would have no national debt. And there'd be nothing but brand new cars on the road, too, since they'd be the only ones that'd pass. But that would never happen because, you see, every single cop car and government car has dozens of those kind of violations and, well, you get the point. So when do cops give out traffic tickets? They'll give you a ticket with a small fine if your driver's license is expired or you're not carrying a copy of your car registration papers. It seems like all the transit cops care about is that your government paperwork is in order, that you paid your license, it's up to date, and you've paid the yearly car plate fee. The cops aren't there to enforce any kind of safety regulations or rules whatsoever. Hell, every day the cops themselves violate dozens of the same rules. Just realize the cops down here are not at all like the ones you're used to up in the States. Not to say that it's a bad thing. Down here, they're not your friends and they're not your enemies. They're just window dressing that takes up space. And that's all they're ever going to be. And the only places gringos and expats that I know fear the cops are up in the first world, of course, number one. And the cops in Mexico because they'll extort anything they can from you. And thirdly, the cops in the high-volume tourist areas in Latin America. Because they know a gringo in a car is about 10 times wealthier than a Latin in a car. Not to mention, he's carrying about 10 times more cash, and if he isn't, they can drive him to an ATM machine and get a withdrawal. But in the rest of Latin America, off the tourist trail, the cops are, well, like cigar store Indians, you know? They can look a bit intimidating, but they don't even know to get out of the way when a bird craps on their head. Now, on a related subject, I just had a discussion with a friend of mine who got in a car accident, and he got nailed at an intersection at 8 at night by a guy who ran a red light. Like I've said in past shows, running a red light is such a common thing down here that if you live in a city, you'll see it happen dozens of times a day if you're paying attention. That's why you should never, ever assume that because you've got a green light, you can just whip right through. Always slow down a bit and be ready to ride the brake. And the situation is much worse at night. Because you see Latins, especially ones with expensive SUVs, you know, the rich, stupid show-offs with bodyguards, well, they believe because they've got these big-ass SUVs that they've got the right-of-way at all times. And they've got the right to run red lights when they feel like it. Especially after their green light has turned yellow. In fact, one of the guys I know down here who works for a car insurance company, he told me that the most common accident scenario is when a guy who was stopped at a red light and it turns green takes off and gets nailed by a guy coming from his left who just ran a red light. And that's because Latins with big powerful cars especially actually have a habit of accelerating when they see a green light a couple of blocks before they get to the intersection. And when it turns yellow, that means just step on it. So basically what this insurance guy was telling me is that red means stop, green means go, and yellow means floor it. So take it from an insurance guy who's seen hundreds of these kinds of accidents. He says even if you're a cautious, prudent driver, you're still going to get into a crack up if you assume that green means go. And if you get into an accident, you're most likely to get hit by one, a taxi driver no less, because they live by their own rules. Two, by a bus driver, because they live by their own rules too. And three, by a pretentious rich dude with an SUV, because they think they own the road. And it'll never change because cops in cop cars follow the very same rules. They're always running red lights and pulling crazy-ass moves too. That's why, after a few months, nearly every new cop car in Latin America has seen a crash or two. Oh, and by the way, if you get rear-ended in Latin America, which is actually the most common type of accident here, more than likely the car that'll hit you will be a beat-up old junker ready for the graveyard. And why is that? It's that maintenance thing again. Tailgaters with faulty brakes. And down here, because of that personal space issue, every Latino with a car is a tailgater. Now, let me mention something else that's rather bothersome and really quite annoying and disgusting to gringos and expats. Now, whether you know it or not, Latin America is the land of spontaneous garbage dumps. And sure, if you drive along anywhere in Latin America, you'll see there's organized garbage pickup and garbage trucks of all sizes and shapes that seem to be making the rounds. And you should know that most garbage pickup service is private. And you contract with these guys by the month, and they usually come by once or twice a week, pick up anything that you have, and I mean anything, and they charge anywhere from $3 to $5 a month for the service. But you know, this is Latin America, where the average salary is like $300 to $350 a month, so a lot of people do not or cannot pay that fee. And in actuality, they should not have to because municipalities have public garbage pickup services. But like everything else having to do with government in Latin America, so-called free municipal garbage pickup is about as dependable as a crack addict. So the people who can't afford private garbage pickup and aren't willing to let their garbage overflow on the front doorstep waiting for the municipal guys to come around, like sometimes never, well, they'll take the situation into their own hands and dump that garbage where no one's looking, on a side road somewhere. And personally, I've seen this happen 100 times. You'll be driving down a nice clean stretch of road in the boonies, enjoying the beautiful view, and you'll see some guy pull over in a beat-up piece of crap, and he'll just dump about 6 bags of garbage out on the side of the road. And it's the domino effect from then on. Then you'll be driving down that road a week or two later, the garbage pile will have multiplied, and there'll be another guy or two parked alongside of it, dumping crap too. And that'll go on and on for weeks and months until finally there's such a big mound of garbage that it's actually impinging on the road itself. Soon enough you get mangy dogs and other stray animals rooting through the stuff. Then the poorest of the poor dregs of humanity start showing up and they sift through for whatever they can get out of it too. Pretty pathetic actually. And then after things are well out of control, the municipality finally gets around to posting a little sign that says, "No dumping allowed. Violators will be fined $10 or $20, whatever it is." But that sign doesn't stop anyone from illegal dumping because no one, but no one, ever enforces that law. But you still see signs posted like that on a lot of country roads, along with their ever-growing garbage piles. So anyway, after the municipality posts that sign and some more months go by, guess what happens next? They put up a bigger sign. And that doesn't deter anyone either. And by now, maybe a year has gone by, and that garbage dump is really out of control. Oh, and by the way, it's not unusual to see a cop car pull over at one of those sites and throw out a few garbage bags of his own. Because remember, cops with cop cars use their vehicle like a family car. They use it to drop their kids at school, run errands, and haul family members around. And if they don't want to pay for private garbage service, they just toss their garbage illegally too. So now, of course, you're thinking, this has got to stop somewhere because someone owns that land and the owner is going to go to the municipality and put some pressure on them. Or, more likely, pay someone under the table, which is usual down here when you're dealing with government. So the next thing that happens after the birds and the dogs and the vagabonds have moved in, suddenly, out of the blue, a municipal bulldozer will show up to bury the stuff and level the land. Then in the next day or two, the municipality will dump some big rocks along the side of the road or even construct a concrete or steel guardrail so that it's nearly impossible for you to pull your car or truck in there and start dumping. Now, putting up a guardrail or barricades doesn't always work, because there are certain times of a day on any country road when there's not much traffic at all, and the locals and the townies know when those times are, so often the problem starts right back up again, making some of these clandestine garbage dumps perpetual. Though, more often than not, yet another spontaneous garbage dump or two shows up within a mile or so of the original site. And then it grows like a cancer and the same cycle happens again, etc., etc. Oh, and if you want to know about the genuine authorized municipal dumps in Latin America, well, of course, as you might imagine, though you're better off not trying to imagine it, believe me. Anyway, they're the most disgusting, despicable things that you've ever seen. In fact, every single government-authorized dump has entire families of scavengers, little kids all the way to old adults, digging through that stinking refuse every single day, more or less surviving, if you can call it that, off the existence of decaying refuse. And nobody does a thing about it, except the occasional do-gooders that come down from the first world to try to help out. And these white-bread do-gooders can only hack it a day or two themselves, believe me. And if you're wondering, at these government dumps, there are no rubber liners, sophisticated methane gas ventilation systems and the like, as dumps in the first world require. The fact is, the majority of these places don't even have fences around them. And since those rubberized impermeable earth barriers aren't required, that means the groundwater in the vicinity and beyond is always contaminated. So expats, that means you don't want to live within 5 miles of a place like that. And definitely not within smelling distance or anywhere downwind. And if you think these dumps are into separating and recycling trash, then just keep drinking that Kool-Aid. All those so-called organized recycling efforts have failed. In reality, it's the vagabonds who live there that do the recycling, based on capitalism, of course. They separate out the plastic, the paper, the glass, and the aluminum. They scratch out a living that way, while organized efforts have failed miserably. The fact is, I've seen a lot of charities and do-gooder organizations come down here from the first world for a week or two, trying to organize towns and villages out in the boonies, to train the common folks out there about recycling. But the fact is, these organizations have just not done their homework. I mean, when you've got 60 or 70% of the people who live in the boonies cutting down trees and bushes for firewood, for cook stoves, I mean, these are people busting their butts living from day to day. The last thing they want to do is waste their time separating garbage into pretty plastic-colored bins. No wonder they think gringos are nuts.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America. TheExpatFiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.